Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
These words, I reckon, are some of the sweetest words to someone's ear. They can be just something that's just so good to hear. When someone says, I am here to you. When someone says, I'm here for you, such a beautiful thing, you know, to know someone's going to be present. They're going to be there for you. They're looking out for you. I am here. Think about the times that you've said that to people. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. So that can be one of the best things to hear from someone. But one of the worst things can be when you tell someone that you're there for them, but they just don't get it. They just don't acknowledge it. Or they forget that actually you're there. You're there for them. See, there's one person in our lives that's made himself available for us always. He's made himself available for us always. But no matter how long you've been walking with him, knowing him, we can all easily forget in how we live our day-to-day lives. We can just go about our lives actually forgetting that, wow, the Lord is with me. Let's go to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. This is one of the songs of ascents. Songs of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S. Think about going up. Ascending. These are songs that pilgrims used to sing. The pilgrimage, when you think about pilgrimage, when you're looking at the word, it's talking about the Israelites going up to Jerusalem, up to the temple. It was a crazy journey for them to go on their feet up to worship at the temple. They'd been instructed by the Lord through Moses that three times a year they were to go up to the annual for an annual feast in Jerusalem. So there's these songs that they would sing as they go up, but these songs were also applicable to their everyday life. So this is one of those songs in Psalm 121. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes to the hills. See, when they would look at those hills, they would think of the Lord. They're going to worship the Lord. They're going to be with the Lord. But it was a place of safety, a sanctuary. But it was a crazy journey. It was like Jerusalem is actually 2,500 feet above the Mediterranean sea level. So just think of a journey on your feet. Yesterday, I got to think about it as I ran. The elevation of my run was 620 meters. It's close to 2,000 feet. That's throughout my whole run. Going through these trails, running on rocks, almost falling and tripping. And you have some people that bring their hiking stuff and they're just almost hiking. Everyone's doing it differently. But it was painful. But these guys would go on this journey up to the temple. And as they were going or setting out to go, they would say, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? Verse 2 says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I've just been hearing those words in my spirit. I am here. I feel that's for all of us. The Lord's saying to us, I'm here. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, He's saying, are you aware of my presence? I am here. The Lord is here in your day-to-day, in your sleep, in your working, in your working out, in your making decisions, in your loss, in your sickness, in the times where you have accidents, in the times where people betray you, in the times where you betray people or disappoint people. He's saying, I'm here. Hello, I'm here. It's so easy for us to actually just go through life as Christians doing stuff for God and just run ahead, doing our thing. And God's just going, wow, when are you going to let me in? When are you going to make room for me? This could be so much easier for you. I need you to get my attention. So the Lord is saying, I am here. He is here to help. How often do we actually ask the Lord for help? When's the last time you asked Him for help? He is the best helper anyone could ever have. The best helper. He said, I will send you the helper, the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. How much are you and I utilizing the help? We think He needs our help. No, we need His help. So He's saying, I'm here. I don't know who this is for this morning, but it's definitely for me. See, the Lord can actually feel left out. He can feel left out. He's with you all the time. But if you're just going on doing your thing, not acknowledging Him, this is not to condemn anyone. This is an invitation. He's like, man, I want in. I want in your life. I want to rejoice with you. I want to celebrate with you. I want to help you. I'm with you in the tough times. He wants in. He doesn't want to be left out. So how often do we actually ask Him for help? Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not. Is there anyone in this room today who's afraid of a situation, afraid of something? The Lord is saying, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Where do you look to for help? Who do you look to for help? What do you look to for help? I struggle to ask for help. I'm learning to ask for more help just in the day-to-day. But if I sense God's giving me something, I just run with it and I can easily forget that actually I need Him in every moment. He's my cloud by day. He's my fire by night. I am here. Is there any situations you've gone through recently where you think, oh, maybe the Lord was actually just there going, I'm here. Have you forgotten me? I'm here. He is here to help. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. How is it that the person, the man, the God, the Lord who created the heavens and the earth would care to help you? Hey, He's the God who created the day, created the night, separated light from darkness, but yet He longs to help you and I. I just don't get that. I'm like, God, don't you have more important things to do? But He's that big that He's got so much to do, but yet we are just as important to Him, that He's with us and He wants to help. He's here to help. The psalm goes on and talks about keeping. He will keep you. He is here to keep you. The Lord is here to keep you. What does that even mean? It means he watches over us. We got here. Anything could have happened on the way here, but we got here. God kept us. He keeps us. He protects us. He guides us. He guards us. This reminds me of the blessing in Numbers, chapter 6, 24. The priestly blessing starts like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord is preserving us. The Lord has kept us. He will continue to do that. He is here. But there are things that we can easily take for granted. Watching over us, strengthening us. I love in Psalm 121 as we read, it says, he will not let your foot be moved. That means he's not going to let you slip. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through things, but he's going to keep you. He's going to protect you. He's going to guide you through the trials. He's not going to be let you be so shaken that you're going to be separated from him. He is still there with you in the tough times. We've all been through tough times before. We're all going to go through tough times again. You might be going through a tough time right now. And you're probably like, bro, you don't even know what I'm going through. How's the Lord keeping me? He's keeping you. He's got it. All you have to do is acknowledge that, Lord, you are with me. Show me what you're doing. And he'll start to reveal. And sometimes all he'll reveal is, I am with you. He will give you that sense of, I am with you. I love you. I'm going to take you through this. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He doesn't sleep. Hey, God does not sleep. So he can keep you. Why are you wide awake, struggling to sleep? He's like, you sleep because I'm awake. Don't try to do my job, staying up in the night, stressing out. He doesn't sleep. He's got you. He doesn't sleep so you can sleep. So be encouraged that he keeps you. Psalm 127 verse 2, just a few pages later, says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. He is here to keep you. Oh, 8, 9, 10 hours of sleep. How good is it when you can get that? Hey. I don't know what sleep you need, but whatever sleep you need, the Lord is giving people permission to get some sleep. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. He keeps us. He is here to help. Doesn't matter how big your need is or how small, he is here to help. He's got it. He's got it so much that he actually sent his very own son, Jesus Christ. See, the people writing the Psalms back then, singing those Psalms, they didn't have what we have today. They would have to go up to the temple. They would have to listen to the man of God whom the Holy Spirit would come upon, whether it was a prophet, whether it was a king. But Matthew 1:23 tells us that the angel said, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He is with us. Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. So the Lord is here to help. The Lord is here to keep us. But how often do we live our lives like we don't have the Lord? We almost forget. We can easily forget that he's with us. He is with you. If there's one thing I would love for you to remember today, as much as you know it already, he's with you. It's simple, but then it's powerful. It's so powerful that it can change your day. Just remembering, he is with me. There's no one else as powerful as our God. He actually lives in us. Jesus said, I will send you a helper. He will dwell in you. The Holy Spirit, He is with us. Verse 6 to 7 says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The sun shall not strike you by day. The sun is so real. We can get hurt by the sun. We can get sunburned. Some of you are like, what, you've been burnt before? Yeah, a few times. I can't fully relate. It was in Jamaica. It was only 26 degrees and I got really burnt. I don't know what it is about the sun there. But the sun is so real. Whereas you think about the moon, what harm does the moon bring? But it's saying here, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. It's saying real problems, things that can be real problems like the sun, as much as there'll be problems, they're not going to hurt you. God's going to look after you. But even things like the moon, which the problems that could come from the moon, they're just in your head. They're things that are just imaginary. It's not real. The moon's not going to harm you. Saying no matter what it is, the Lord's going to keep you. The Lord's going to protect you. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. That's keeping you from all harm. He will keep your life. Our security is found in the Lord. He's here to help. He's here to keep us. He is with us. One of the things I was thinking as I was thinking about today is so many times I feel like God will just come to us as He's next to us and go, what are you doing? Where are you actually going? How did you get here? Because He's there with us and we're just doing our thing. And it's like, what are you doing? Who asked you to do that? Who told you that? Was that my wisdom? Was that my guidance? But the Lord would actually ask us those questions. Where are you going? Hey, Phil, where are you going? Who told you to go there? Oh, yeah, Lord. I just thought, did you consult me? Did you just commit yourself to me in that second? Was your heart posture being aware of me? I don't want to control you, but I just want in. I want you to know my love in all that you do. You said yes. You said you're my Lord, but it doesn't look like I'm your Lord because you're just keeping that. You're doing your own thing. The Lord would ask us those questions. Where are you going? What are you doing? You don't have to open here, but I'm going to open here. I'm not going to spend too much time in it. But there's one person who gets asked a question that sounds something like that. And he's a guy by the name of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah, great man of God. He was a prophet. Ahab was the king in Israel. He was not a man of God. His wife, Queen Jezebel, she was not a woman of God. Israel was in disarray. And Jezebel had actually been killing prophets of the Lord. People that were standing up for God were being killed off. And then a guy by the name of Obadiah, who was working for Ahab, had actually hidden a lot of God's prophets in caves. And then Elijah comes back and he's got a word for the king. And he hears about these prophets. He doesn't take too much notice of the good prophets, but he does what God's calling him to do. And there's a showdown. In Israel, a lot of them were worshipping Baal, the god Baal. So Elijah says, hey, King Ahab, I'm going to get all your prophets. Come on down. Let's go see, do this sacrifice thing. Let's get two cows. You guys worship Baal. We want you to call down Baal to just burn the sacrifice up, a cow on the altar. To just burn it up with fire. No one's going to light up a fire. God's going to light up a fire. Let's see if your God can light up the fire. So all these prophets of Baal, they get this altar set up. They get it set up to go. They start praying to Baal. They go for hours and hours, and I can't remember how long. But Elijah's like, where's your God at? Is he sleeping? Or is he doing something dodgy? Nothing happens. Elijah goes, all right, my turn. Let's go. He goes, let's repair the altar. He repairs the altar. He dedicates it to the Lord. Before he puts the cow on that thing, he makes sure that there's no way fire is going to hit that altar. He puts water upon water. He digs trenches so there's more water on this altar. And all he has to do, I'll read this in 1 Kings 18 if I can find it. Whoa. Elijah took, it's 1 Kings 18 verse 31. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two seers of seed. He just made sure that fire could not hit this thing. And I'm just going to find the place where he calls out on the name of the Lord. Verse 36 says, and at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Let no one of them escape. And they seized him. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. They all got killed. He killed them. He had victory. But he's thinking things about to change in Israel. Because the Lord's shown up. He's thinking people are going to turn their hearts back to God. Queen Jezebel finds out what's happened. She's like, it ain't happening. So she goes, this man's got to die, Elijah. Dude freaks out. He starts to run. Man of God starts to run. He runs so much. He's so depressed. He thinks he's the only one. He's not thinking about the other prophets that are in the caves. He thinks, man, Lord, what is going on? He's just out of it. He falls asleep. An angel comes, feeds him. He starts to go on this journey to a mountain again. He goes up to the Mount Horeb. He runs for 40 days and 40 nights to go there. He's pretty much fasting. Imagine that, just going for it. He gets there and he encounters the Lord. We see in 1 Kings 19, the Lord comes to him and God says this to him. 1 Kings 19 verse 9, it says, there he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God's actually questioning, what are you doing here? God hadn't sent him there. God hadn't led him there. He was freaking out. But he's actually going there, and we actually find out before this, he actually says, I want to end my life. He's asking the Lord to end his life. He's gone from this massive victory in the Lord, but now he's just going his own way. He's giving up. The Lord asks him, what are you doing here? God asks, he explains what he's doing there. Oh, you know, things are not working out. No one's around. I'm the only one left. I'm jealous for your people. I want to see your people come to you. Then God, he has an encounter with God where God tells him to, you guys can look at this story. I don't want to get too much in it, but it's pretty much the situation where he's waiting for the Lord and the Lord shows up in a fire, but he actually doesn't show up. There's a fire. The Lord makes the fire happen. There's a cloud. There's a wind, whatever it was, see it in there. But the Lord is not in any of it until he goes out and he hears a whisper. The Lord shows up in a whisper. It's like he could be expecting God to show up in this big things, but God just shows up in the whisper. And God's pretty much saying, I'm here. But for you to hear me, you've got to be close. I'm here for you to hear a whisper. You've got to be close to the Lord. And he asks him again after that situation, what are you doing here? God's shown him all these things. Then he goes, what are you doing here? He explains himself again. And then after that, the Lord actually gives him direction on what to do. He's to go and appoint a king in Syria. He's to go and appoint a king in Israel. And he's to go and appoint another prophet, Elisha. But just think about that question. What are you doing here? Would the Lord be asking you today in any situation that you're in, what are you doing? Who invited you to do that? Where am I in that? What are you doing here? Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. We all go through things. But the Lord says, I'm with you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He preserves us in those trials. Nothing can separate us from him. Nothing can separate us from his love. Sin will distance us from the Lord. But guess what? He's still there just waiting. He's waiting for you to make that move again. He is with us. Isaiah 43:1-2. Let's have a quick look at that. He is here to help. He is here to keep us. And he is with us. Isaiah 42. I don't know what you guys are going through, but I just know the Lord is saying, I am here. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 2. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And then he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. You walk through the fire. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. So he's saying, you're going to go through some stuff. You might be going through it. But through the fire, you will not be burned. Through the river, you're not going to drown. You're not going to be overwhelmed. He is with you. He is with you. Ah, God, I just thank you that you are with us. He's with us so much that that is one of Jesus' words that he said to us in the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Verse 20 says, and I will be with you always. It's the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I've commanded you. And behold, whatever God's called you to, whatever God's called me to, he's saying, I'm with you always. He's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Is he saying that to you today? I am here. What are some things where we could be like Elijah, where we're just running ahead? Running ahead of him and he's going, what are you doing? I am here. So he is with us. He actually waits for us. You know, sometimes we're not really knowing that he's there. We're not acknowledging him. But as it says on the screen, it was up there before, he waits for us. He waits. Doesn't matter how far you go, how much sometimes you might not obey what he said. He's so patient. He waits. He's so full of grace that he waits. I'm here. He's just waiting for you to finally do the things he asked you to do, or to just invite him into your day, into your work meeting, before that call you make. I want to share the gospel with that person. Oh, that's a bit hard. And we just say, no, but it's like, I'm here. That was me giving you that stirring. But you just said, oh, I can't do it. You're relying on your own strength. He waits for us. He is so gracious. Like I said before, he doesn't have more important things to do. As in, that's not how he sees it. We can think, oh, God's got more important things to do. But he loves you. And he says, here I am. Revelation 3 verse 20. Who's getting tired of opening their Bibles? No one? Revelation 3 verse 20. This is Jesus speaking to the church in Laodicea. Where he's like, you guys are lukewarm. You are lukewarm. You are not cold. You are not hot. Are you for me? Are you not for me? Make up your mind. Are you for God or are you not? That's the message coming through here. There are people that they're actually not depending on God for anything. This is where God said, I'm here to help, but you're not depending on me. If I could make you all stand and say, tell me the biggest thing you're depending on God for now, what would you say? What's the smallest thing you're depending on God for right now? What would you say? He says, I am here for you. I'm here. He's the one who fights our battles. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Yes, he'll work through you. Yes, you've still got to do so many things. But he's the source. It starts with him. It starts with him. Go to him. So in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice. Before that, he says, behold, I stand and I stand at the door and knock. For someone to be knocking on a door, they've got to be waiting. He waits. He waits and he knocks at the door. This is not just for non-Christians, people that haven't come. This is talking to Christians. This is talking to the church. God is knocking on your door. I don't know what he's knocking about, but he's saying, I am here. Do you hear me? And he's going to keep knocking. He doesn't give up. He does not give up. He is the answer. He is the solution. He says, if anyone hears my voice, this is the good part. If you actually open that door, he says, I will come in to him and eat with him and hear he with me. That's all he wants. He says, I'm here. Imagine one of your mates just knocking at your door and you just ignore it. You just can't hear it. This is the lover of our soul. He knocks. He knocks. He waits. He is waiting for you. You haven't missed the boat. He is waiting. He wants to eat with you. He is knocking. Who is it? Oh, it's the King of Glory. Let me in. Who is it? It's the Lord Almighty. It's the answer. Who is it? You're going to let him in, aren't you? But are we actually hearing the knock when he's knocking? Are we going to open the door to let him in? He just wants to be with us. Don't stand him up, church. Don't stand him up. He wants to have a date with you. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to do life with you face to face. He's in you. You might be like, why are you using those worldly terms? Because maybe that's what you get and what I get. But he's so much more than that. He is in you. But we can easily forget what is in us because we have the flesh in us. This is an invitation to greater intimacy with God, to being aware of his presence. He waits. Tim, he waits. He waits. He waits for us. He's inviting us to draw near to him, James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. We're to acknowledge him in all that we do. We're to depend on him in all that we do. We're to delight in him. Do you have times where you just stop in your day and actually go, Lord, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop. And I'm just going to stop doing stuff and I'm just going to be with the Lord. Lord, thank you that you give me strength, that I can do so much. But Lord, I've been trying to do things all day, been so busy. But Lord, I actually just need to stop and just check in. I know you're with me, but Lord, what is it that you're authoring? What is it that I'm putting my hands to that you don't want me to be putting my hands to? Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me direction. I want to keep my eyes on you, Jesus. In you I move, in you I live, in you I have my being. Guide me, Lord. Times where you just stop and be in silence. Because it can just feel like we've got to do this, I've got to do that. But God knows what's most important. He knows what's most important. So we've got to have times in our day, randomly, where you just feel led to just stop. Just close your eyes. Whatever it is, whatever being busy and not being busy looks like for you. It says in that Psalm 121. Whatever not being busy looks like for you, just do that. It's about making room for the one who's saying, I'm here. I am here. Acknowledge him, depend on him, delight in him. Just stop and just be. Are you aware of his presence? He has so much to show you. He has so much to teach you. Can we all stand this morning? There's an invitation today to draw closer to him. To draw closer to him. See, if God's saying, I am here. If God's saying, I am here, he actually wants to hear the same words from you and I. I am here. That's the whole point of this thing. Can you actually say to the Lord, I am here? That's what he needs to hear from us. He's here for us, but we actually need to get to a point in our day-to-day, in our life, where we say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Just because he's with us is actually not enough. We can know he's with us, but it's not enough. We actually need to engage with him. We need to pursue him. We need to take a step towards him. And as he says, he will draw near to us. So Lord, today we just pray. Let's all close our eyes. Lord, you are our God. Lord, you are all that we've ever needed. You're all that we need right now. Would you draw us closer to you? Draw us closer to you. Lord, in this moment we come in, we want to focus just on you. Nothing else. Lord, that our decisions that we make daily, they'll be full of your presence, full of your wisdom, full of your love. Lord, our thoughts, the things we think of ourselves, the things we think of others, the things we think of this world, Lord, may they have your breath in them. Draw us closer to you, God, in all that we do. Jesus, you just start to tell them in your own words, here I am. I am here for you. I am here for you. I am here to be with you. I am here. Is he all you want? Is he all that you need? See, there's many things we can want. There's many things that we can need. But it actually all starts with him. And we need to have times where we just refocus back to him. Because even someone like Jacob had a moment where he had a dream and an encounter with God. And the Lord spoke to him, but it was only after that dream that he actually goes, wow. The Lord is here. How awesome is this place? The Lord is here. Jacob had to be reminded of God's presence. Elijah was questioned by God. Adam was questioned by God. Why are you hiding? It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian for or how short. The Lord asks us the same question. Where are you? And he wants us right next to him, right close to him. Where it's not people that are determining how we see him, how we see church, how we see his bride, but it's him, where we look into his eyes, where we stay close, and we let him be the one who helps us. So Lord, would you bring us back close to you? You are all that we want. You are all that we want.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.